Hello and welcome to another interview with GivingCirclesHelp.com. This is Sharon Lipinski, and today I'm really excited to be talking with Linda Strupp with the Giving Circle of Hope. Now, last week I got to spend some time on the phone with another co-founder of the Giving Circle of Hope, Diana Katz, and we spoke for a long time about their grant structure and how they're giving away money. And what's really neat about what they're doing is they also have another component to their giving circle that involves service. And it's part of an orchestrated campaign that they do to keep their members engaged. And I'm really excited to talk with her today to find out how they're doing this. It's a very vibrant giving circle. They fluctuate between 100 and 150 members. And since 2004, they have donated more than $350,000 to their local community. So, Linda, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's my pleasure.
Would you start by, sharing your philosophy on member engagement and why you think that's important and what you're doing to keep your members as members?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Like all organizations, I think our members want to feel valued and that they're having an impact. And many giving circles like us, we do, besides researching the grants and giving away money, we have an educational component. At the way that we do it is that our quarterly meetings, we will invite one of our grantee organizations to come and speak. And that is really a benefit because the members find out how our money has been used. And it also educates them about the needs in the community. Very often we're overwhelmed with, because we specialize in small nonprofits, how much these groups are doing with really very little in terms of resources. So it's an education about the community, the needs, and how different organizations are meeting those needs. We don't have large seminars the way some giving circles do, but that's also very effective. Besides that, we put out a newsletter about every other month, and that will have news about our service projects, upcoming events. We also publicize important events for our nonprofits, if they're having a fundraiser or if they're perhaps have a special need is in terms of donations or if they're hiring a particular staff member. We do help them publicize their needs. The newsletter is good, especially if people can't come to the quarterly meetings. It's an e-newsletter, so it's very easy to publish and easy to read. And it fosters engagement. We think it's important that we're in contact, even though we don't want to be in super frequent contact with our members, but so that they know what's going on with us and they know that we value their input and their interaction. One of the very unique ways that we keep our members engaged is through a book circle. And we started this in the very beginning. We decided to read books about the people we serve. And so we will read, our first book, I believe, was Nickeled and Dimed, about minimum wage workers. And we've read books about immigrants, about the elderly, about taking care of ill family members. We've read books about microfinance. We've branched out now into all kinds of social justice issues, human trafficking, poverty, education, and that fosters wonderful discussions. Not all of our members participate. Perhaps we have 20 or so at most of our meetings, and we combine it with a dinner. We meet about every 6 weeks, and that's been really great. And it's a kind of a recruitment tool, too, because some people will come to the book circle before they'll ever come to a quarterly meeting or a service project.
Do you then advertise that book circle separately, or how are people finding out about the book circle before they find out about your meetings?
We don't, but that's a great idea. Normally, it is published in our newsletter, and our newsletter goes out to about 460 people. And as you mentioned, we have about 100, 120 members currently. It's hard to pinpoint the membership exactly because all of our money doesn't come in at once. So, you know, given the point in time, but our membership has not fluctuated greatly in the last few years. And most of our people will come through word of mouth because they're invited by another member. But that's a good idea if we were to advertise that special, especially.
So you're also sending this newsletter to people who have expressed some interest in your giving circle at some point in time, even if they're not members. Is that...
That's correct. We will not buy lists or anything like that, but when we are represented at a nonprofit forum or we go to Chamber of Commerce events, networking events, women's networking luncheons or so forth, then we always take a roster with us or a sign-up sheet with us and ask people if they're interested to sign up for our mailing list. And we promise not to bombard them, but as I said, it comes out about bi-monthly. And they'll also get invitations to our meetings that way. So everybody who is on our mailing list has chosen to be on there, our members and donors and so forth. We started out doing special events because our members... you know, told us that one of the reasons they felt engaged in the Giving Circle of Hope was because we did do direct hands-on service. So we started out doing kind of one-day events like Christmas in April. We do a flea market or a yard cleanup for someone who was in a crisis situation in our neighborhood. We did drives, food drives, baby product drives for nonprofits, an organization called Happy Hats that sews soft, colorful jester hats for critically ill children in the local hospital. We did workshops with them. And through those, and also through members, many of our ongoing service projects now started with a member saying, you know, gee, I've always wanted to do this and such. And in our giving circle, we have a saying, it doesn't take a village, it takes a giving circle, because everybody has something to offer. And it's not always just money. You know, it could be talents or contacts or time, you know, the volunteer service itself. And so we kind of galvanize and pull it together. The one-day projects were great. They were, but it felt, we just came to a point where we felt like we wanted something more permanent. So we now have four ongoing service projects, and as I mentioned, these all came out of members who had an idea. And then we all, you know, got together and took it from there. The very first one was Kids Club, was formed by, where the idea came from, two teachers, and they knew that homeless children were often behind in their education because they were so transient, and so they wanted to do a reading program in our local homeless shelter. Well, that grew into an interior designer came in and did some space planning. We built shelves and big pillows for the kids to sit on. The reading program then evolved into more cultural enrichment. We brought in speakers, a master gardener, a dog trainer, tried to expose the kids to things that they weren't regularly exposed to in their world. And now it also does, we have a lot of crafts. So about, I believe it's every other Wednesday, our team goes in and they put on a program at the homeless shelter for the kids that are residents there at the time. We also do Helping Hungry Kids, which provides weekend food packets to children in Title I elementary schools in our area. Teachers were noticing that Monday mornings some kids seemed to be very, very hungry because during the school week they are provided with breakfast and lunch, free or reduced price, but on the weekends they didn't have enough nutrition. Mm. So a few of our members, and this does happen else in other communities around the country, but a couple of our members decided to do it in our community. can do food collections and then put together packets. They're in large Ziploc bags that provide two breakfasts, two lunches, two dinners, and two snacks. And they're very discreetly given to the kids who are identified. So that's an ongoing program, and we have Caring Friends, a team that goes into a nursing home, does enrichment and socialization, plays cards, mahjong with some of the residents in the nursing home, and then a very special one, Flashes of Hope, which is a photography program for kids with cancer and their families, and we run the chapter in Northern Virginia for that. And the team goes in, and they recruit professional photographers and makeup stylists and do a photo shoot for the kids that are in treatment either in the hospital or in an outpatient clinic. So all of these teams kind of operate separately yet together. A person may volunteer for several or maybe just one. It all depends what touches a member's heart or where they feel like they can make the greatest contribution. We don't make any requirement or ask for a minimum number of hours or anything like that from our members. As Deanna mentioned to you, some contribute just time, just money. Some contribute just time. We have service-only members, and some do both. So it really depends on the member. We try to meet their needs so they can meet the needs of others.
Now, did you indicate, like, some of these ongoing events came out of your special events, and they just turned into ongoing?
They did. We had, and it evolves as we think either the program isn't effective anymore, or if our members lose interest in participating, we'll try to re-engineer and think of something else. You know, as you know, there are so many needs out there, mm-hmm. and our nonprofits are always welcome our assistance. So there have been things like the happy hats, the sewing of the hats, that kind of evolved into more crafting, and then we started doing, we had a program called Crafting Hope, which was for immigrant women to teach them a sew and to provide them with socialization, to build community in their neighborhoods. Many of them never leave their community because they're, you know, culturally bound or economically bound. Mm-hmm. And but that lasted 2 years, and then kind of there wasn't as much interest on either party, so now that's when we kind of went into the helping hungry kids. We try not to stretch ourselves too thin because we have a finite number of volunteers, mm-hmm. yet we do want, just like with our grants, we try to choose the programs where we have the greatest impact. And a few of our one-day events are now, they're still one-day events, but we do them annually. One is Empty Bowls, which is a great community event, also takes place in other places in the country, but the way it works is we seek donations from area artists and potters, and so they donate 500 handcrafted pottery bowls. And then we seek donations from area restaurants. They donate soup, bread, and desserts. And the Giving Circle of Hope provides the volunteers along with Girl Scouts and members of the community. And then in the church, a local church donates the space. A printer donates the printing. And we put on a wonderful community event that raises money for a local food bank. And members of the community come. They pay their $20 for that. They get to pick a handcrafted bowl and have a simple soup supper. They take the bowl home, and that reminds them that there are empty bowls in the community. Mm-hmm. And in that one evening, we raise over $20,000 for food for others.
Wow.
So that was a one-day event, and it was so successful. We've now had our fourth one this past spring. We'll have our fifth next spring. Another one is, and this is our second annual event that takes place in the winter. We do a Gifts That Give Hope alternative gift fair. And this is great because it supports our nonprofit partners and it brings new people from the community in to think about philanthropy in a different way. We host fair, and all of our nonprofits are represented. And instead of, they do have tangible items that perhaps their clients have made or their fair trade items, but basically what they're selling are virtual gifts, so that instead of buying a tie for your husband, you might buy a bag of food for a homeless family in honor of your husband.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would get a card that explains the gift you've given in his honor, and you gift that to him, and then the organization that you've bought it from would gift the bag of food to a needy family. And so through that, we usually have about 20 organizations represented, 20, 25 organizations represented. And again, we raise about $15,000 for them in that one-day event. And that's great because it, besides bringing in money, it gives them exposure. And that's often just as important because they might recruit a new volunteer that way. They always want people to know their stories,
mm-hmm.
and it gives them a forum to tell their stories. So that's been, again, we've done 3 so far, and we'll do another one this December. That has been very, very popular.
These are amazing ideas and amazing things that you're doing for your community and for your members. It sounds like a lot of work. So how are you managing?
Well, again, it takes a giving circle. We have people who are very passionate, and very few do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And even for myself, I was a founder, but then I have gravitated towards those things that either I think I do best or that I'm really interested in. And we just have a very caring and compassionate group in our giving circle. So we don't have difficulty in getting volunteers. And we will not start a program that we don't have volunteers for. It has to be somebody's passion.
Mm.
And then, you know, it kind of grows from there. Their enthusiasm might spur someone else into coming on board. So as long as we have a team, we'll do it. And we really encourage our members to think of ideas, and we're willing to try new ones that, you know, as long as that they will benefit needy people in our community.
So you have some of your members, for example, who work on the Flashes of Hope program, and some for the Kids Club, and those members make sure that the volunteers are coordinated and email is sent and all of that. Is that?
That's right. So our leadership is decentralized in that way. We have the committee leaders for each one of our service programs. And some of them only require a handful of volunteers, you know, a half a dozen. And others, like Empty Bowls, we have over 100 volunteers. So their Empty Bowls has committees within committees. But again, it's a very popular event. People are very eager to sign up to work on that or to take a small part. I think if you break it down so that nothing's overwhelming, then it's much easier to recruit people.
Mm-hmm. Are some of your members then fairly experienced at managing projects like that?
I don't think that they all have been. Certainly we have some that have been volunteering for decades, but others are not. We have a large group, so if someone's not comfortable taking on a lead role, perhaps they would partner with a more experienced person. So it kind of runs the gamut, and you know, we have some older folks, and we have some who have more limited time because they have young children, and you know, whatever someone is able to contribute, we'll try to put it to good use.
I'm so impressed with all of the things that you have going on.
Well, we're very excited to do it. This has been, It's been a great experience. As Deanna may have told you, we started off with 4 people, and then we grew to 6, and then to 40, and then to 100. We thought, oh, it'll just be a circle of our friends, but actually this has, the majority of our members are people we didn't know 7 years ago. They heard about us. They read about us in a newspaper article or, you know, caught a TV clip or something like that. And they're just, we have a great community. But I think there are a lot of great communities out there. It just, our giving circle, as well as I think other giving circles, we provide a framework that makes it easy for others to be engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're doing. I mean, this isn't rocket science. This is just, rather than you having to go out and find what can I do, you know, school is starting, what can I do to help some underprivileged kids get ready for school? Well, instead of you having to go and do all the research, you can log on to the Giving Circle of Hope website and see what we're doing. Well, we might be putting together packets through one of our nonprofit partners, Kids Are First, that provide school supplies. So, gee, this weekend you can go and help, you know, in that assembly line process. Or, I don't know, it just, not just with the volunteer time, but it just, women especially like to do things in groups, so not only makes it easier, it makes it more fun.
Yeah, I love what you said when you said, make a framework for making it easy, because I think, you know, my experience has been is that people do want to help and do want to get involved, but often they don't even know where to start, or they try and it doesn't really work out and it's not a great experience, and then they don't go back, and you're making it easy
right for
them.
That's right. That's right. Sometimes it's hard to find a place to volunteer. Sometimes you go and they're not as well organized.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to do that background work. It's the same thing with the grant making too. I thought I was pretty well informed of the needs in our community and knew a lot of nonprofits because I was an active volunteer previous to the Giving Circle. But once we started getting those grant applications in, there are organizations I'd never heard of in my own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really, you know, it opens up all these new avenues and all these new experiences. And it's provided, you know, people like me with a tremendous education as well.
Somebody's listening to this and is inspired to try and start a service portion of their Giving Circle. What do you recommend how they get started? Do you have any advice?
Well, if they are already a Giving Circle and they give money to nonprofit organizations, I would start there because you're already engaged with a nonprofit. So ask them what their needs are. Would a diaper drive help, or a food drive, or mentoring a teenager? Helping in a free clinic, and I would start small. See if your members want to do that type of thing. The one-day projects are great for that. What has been very successful for us is taking ideas from our members, and I think that, too, gives them ownership, and if they're the ones with the passion, then they're the ones that will expand that passion to others.
Mm-hmm. It's really empowering somebody who has an idea to go with it and make it successful.
Sure. Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's what the group is for, that we all, you know, none of us have it all.
Mm-hmm.
But you might have skill or talent or time or money, resources that by working together can really do some great things.
So we've talked about all of your service projects, your newsletter, your book circle. Is there anything else that you're doing to encourage member engagement and retainment?
I think I pretty much covered all that we're currently doing. There are a few of us who speak pretty regularly to groups, newcomers clubs, other book circles and so forth, about philanthropy in general. While it's nice for people to join our group, and to have faith in our vetting process. If through one of our programs they become interested in a nonprofit directly, we're very happy about that. We just want to make connections. We want people to understand everyday philanthropy, that you don't have to be wealthy in mm-hmm. order to make a difference. So we always seek ways of just connecting people. And that can happen, you know, in a multitude of ways. But we do network a lot in the nonprofit group, and we do speak about philanthropy as well as giving circles as much as we can, just to promote that kind of philosophy.
And do you find you get new members from those, or are most of your new members coming from other members?
Most do come from other members. However, we do pick up members from our speaking engagements, or we're involved in the community. You know, we might be represented at a fair or something like that. And occasionally we'll do a focused recruitment. I wouldn't say that it's an event, but we may send out letters of invitation to a larger audience than who is on our mailing list. They might be friends and neighbors who we think really should be involved, mm-hmm. but haven't yet.
Uh-huh.
So every once in a while we'll do a targeted kind of a broader invitation.
And is it for, like, if you have a specific thing coming up, like a speaker or something that you think, do you...
Yes, we have...
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Normally it's that would be for a quarterly meeting.
Okay.
Where we would have a speaker, and we have a business meeting as well. We do get a lot of new members through our special events, through Empty Bowls and Gifts That Give Hope, because they involve... the entire community, where if a Girl Scout is volunteering, her parents are likely to come, then they'll be like, wow, you know, this, I didn't even know this, what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And or people will come because they're interested in pottery. But then they'll find out that they might have a conversation with one of our volunteers, or they may end up going directly to the food pantry and volunteering there. So again, you know, those community events are very important for recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other benefits that you think you get out of your special events, new members, member engagement, sir?
Well, we just try to help our nonprofit partners in as many different ways as we can. And, you know, some of it is very direct and tangible benefit. We can put money, give them money or perhaps enable them to find additional volunteers or exposure. But generally, we also are pleased that we're doing something good for the community.
Mm-hmm.
And even the guests that come to our special events, I think they feel good that they are contributing, even if they don't go beyond that one day's event.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit less tangible, but you plant seeds, you never know what will happen.
Exactly. I think that's so true. Linda, is there anything else you'd like to share with us about your giving circle? Anything I didn't ask you?
I can't think of anything specific, but I would encourage everybody to join a giving circle. I think it's just a wonderful model of cooperation and caring and working together. And I love the fact that every giving circle is unique and different, so that if you want to make it all women or men and women, or we'd help launch giving circles every year, and are very happy to provide from our experience. We don't expect anybody to do it our way, but just like what you're doing, is sharing through your website how different people are doing it, and then they can pick and choose what works for them. I think that's, just make it yours, make it your own. Don't follow somebody's model. But the general philosophy of giving circles, of working together for the greater good, is wonderful. I think everybody should be in a giving circle.
And if there isn't one in your community, you can join one. And starting simple, I mean, as, you know, as we talk with you, and after all of these years, you have all of these programs going on, and you know, you started with 4 members. And did you even start with any service projects at all, or is that something that you added on as...
We didn't start with that. We had discussed it because we were using a model of another giving circle that did require service, and we decided not to require it. Mm-hmm. But as our membership grew, we could tell that they wanted to be engaged in hands-on work. And some who couldn't, we only ask for $1 a day. But for some people, that's a little bit too much. But they might have an hour a month. And so it was a way to engage people who were not able to give money, or who wanted to do more than give money.
So our
circle has evolved tremendously over the last 7 years, and I think that is that's very typical. As I've talked to other giving circles, you know, they change as they need to. Mm-hmm. And as long as your leadership is open to that, I think it'll always be vibrant, because it'll always be evolving.
So it's better to start and get something going and learn as you go along, rather than having to wait for it to be perfect and getting it all right.
I think you're right, yes. We did it all. We wrote our bylaws, and you don't even need bylaws, but we did our structure and launched our first informational meeting all within, I'd say, a month and a half. Other giving circles take a year and a half to plan everything before they have their launch, but we did it very quickly, and then we just evolve from there. As long as you start with a few committed individuals who are, who are passionate, it's the same thing. It's infectious.
Well, Linda, I want to thank you so much for sharing your service program with us, and for contributing to the library of knowledge that people can learn from to add to what they're already doing.
You're very welcome. It is truly my pleasure, and thank you for putting this resource out there for others.